Good morning. Doses of the H1N1 vaccine are now available, but they're available for a very small number of people. Some of them were given out at the Le Bonheur Children's Medical Center in Memphis, Tennessee. John?
I've got a list of questions for these guests. I hope you don't mind. I mean, I got pregnant wife, four kids at home. I got a million questions.
I got other stuff to get through.
I know. I just want to know, you know, I'm going to be chiming in here.
Okay, but, you know, you have to keep it.
I know. I just got a million questions on this floor.
You just can't flood them with questions.
But that's what's happening all over America.
That's what we're told. We are joined by three doctors this morning to tell us about what's up with the vaccine and who's going to get it first. Dr. Matthew Davis is a pediatrician and internist at the University of Michigan. He's a health policy researcher, and he directs the National Poll on Children's Health there. Good morning, Dr. Davis.
Good morning.
So what have you been hearing from parents? Are your phone lines jammed with people calling in with questions?
Well, we have a lot of parents eager to hear when the H1N1 vaccine is going to be available, and what we've been letting them know is that we expect the vaccine to be available for patients later on this month or the first part of next month. Our priority is to get healthcare workers vaccinated first.
So we also have Dr. Anthony Fauci. He's director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. So, Dr. Fauci, we were talking about the vaccine being rolled out in small doses right now. Where is it going first and why?
Well, it's just going to go to relatively few places. The first installment was about 600,000 doses. By the end of the week, there'll be about another 6 to 7 million doses. And then after that, there will be coming in about 40 million by mid-October, and then about 10 million a week after that. So it started really very slow, only because the first shipment was just available from the flu mist, which is the spray in the nose. But the injectable is going to become available literally within a week or so.
Oh, I've got a question. My wife said I have to ask this. Okay. Dr. Fauci, John Hockenberry here. Why can't pregnant women use the nasal mist? Why?
Strictly speaking, they probably could, but out of an abundance of caution, since this is a live attenuated vaccine, we just want to make sure it has not really been tested that much in women on a seasonal basis who are pregnant. It's a theoretical risk that is very, very small, but just out of an abundance of caution, we want women to take the injectable because it is a live virus, so very attenuated.
Thank you. That's the first time I've had an explanation on that. Anyway, go ahead.
So actually, John, you might want to hear from Dr. Sandra Arnold, because not only did she get the vaccination herself, she got the mist in her nose, but she has daughters, and they both had H1N1, right, Dr. Arnold?
Well, I'm pretty sure they did. They had influenza-like illness that I was pretty certain that they had it, although they were not tested.
Now, you're still going to get them vaccinated?
I absolutely am. I'm not certain that they had it, and I want to protect them. I want to protect the people around them. You know, children are the ones that spread the virus to everybody else, so I want to make sure that everybody's protected.
All right, so Dr. Arnold, let me just give you a sense of my house. We've got four kids, two sets of twins, two 11-year-olds, two 8-year-olds, all right, and a pregnant woman in the third trimester. Absolutely everybody gets vaccinated, including daddy. That's what you say?
Absolutely.
Why not Tamiflu? Absolutely. A lot of people are saying that you should have used Tamiflu instead.
You're still going to get sick if you take Tamiflu. This way, this is the only way that you can keep yourself from actually getting influenza. If you take Tamiflu, generally you wait till you get sick. If you take it as a prevention when you've been exposed, you may have to take it over and over again.
All right, I got a question for Dr. Matthew Davis. Excuse me, Celeste. This is, again, one from my wife. She's in the third trimester. If she gets a vaccine, Dr. Davis, does she pass the immunity to the baby that's going to be born in December and is still going to be facing a flu threat through the spring?
That's a great question, John. We do think there is some benefit for the mom essentially sharing her antibodies with the child who's about to be born. But the main benefit probably comes after the child's birth, within the first 6 months, when children are not yet eligible to be vaccinated against either H1N1 flu, what used to be called swine flu, or seasonal flu. That brings up another issue, which is that individuals taking care of very young children are recommended to get the H1N1 flu vaccine, even if they don't otherwise fall into a high-risk category themselves.
And that was my question, Dr. Fauci. Why is that? With the very young children are not in the high-risk category, and yet we're going to vaccinate caretakers for those very young kids. Why is that?
Well, very young children, less than 6 months, are in a high-risk category, but you don't vaccinate them because their immune response is immature, and they do not make a good immune response against a vaccine. So as you've just heard, the real strategy is to form almost a cocoon effect around them by vaccinating the people who are caretakers of children less than 6 months old. If their immune system were mature enough to be able to make immune response against the vaccine, we would vaccinate them. But that doesn't mean that they're not at risk. You still need to protect them by not allowing anyone who's infected to be near them, and that's why you vaccinate the caretakers.
But is it the case that if you're vaccinated, you can't be a carrier of the virus?
If you're vaccinated and the vaccination really works, you will not be infected, so you will not be, as it were, subclinically shedding the virus. The virus would have to be replicating in you enough for you to shed it, and if it is, that means that the vaccine didn't work. So if the vaccine works, not only will you be protected, but you would not be passing it on to anyone else.
I am working through this list here.
So, Dr. Davis, you just led a national poll about parents and their attitudes about the H1N1 vaccine, and I'm wondering what you found out. Are parents nervous about vaccinating their kids?
Well, Celeste, what we did find is that parents seem a bit more reluctant to go with the H1N1 vaccine than they are with something they know a little bit better, which is the seasonal flu vaccine. So about 40% of parents nationwide plan to get their children between the ages of 6 months and 18 years vaccinated against H1N1. In comparison, about 55% of those same parents plan to get their kids vaccinated against seasonal flu. What I've been emphasizing in my practice is that the vaccines are essentially the same vaccine, just with a small change to make the H1N1 vaccine directed against the actual H1N1 virus. But we're expecting the rate of side effects, such as soreness or redness of the arm, or perhaps a very low risk of fever or muscle aches, to be about the same as we've seen with the seasonal flu vaccine for children. And that's actually been a very, very helpful and quite safe vaccine for kids over the past half decade or so.
Okay, that's Dr. Matthew Davis. He's a pediatrician and an internist at the University of Michigan. We're also joined with Dr. Anthony Fauci. He's the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases from Washington, and also from Memphis, Tennessee, Dr. Sandra Arnold. She's associate professor of pediatrics in the Division of Infectious Diseases at the University of Tennessee. I kind of think, John, that maybe you assembled this panel of doctors just to get through
Call on me. Yeah. So, Dr. Arnold, I have one last question. Maybe it's a little bit ghoulish. The Centers for Disease Control suggested over the last few days that 28 women or more had died of the flu itself, and that was
pregnant
disturbing.
Women.
Pregnant women, right. 28 pregnant women, that was a disturbing figure. But they also said that they don't typically track pregnant women during the seasonal flu, so they kind of don't know whether this is a high number or not. First of all, are you disturbed by that number? And second of all, what are these pregnant women dying of? How does that work?
Well, I am disturbed by that number. Of course, we're always upset when anybody passes away from something that is potentially preventable, like influenza. What I would say, since I'm not caring for these women, I can't actually say what's going on. I think usually what we see when people die of influenza is a combination of people having a severe immune reaction and pneumonia secondary to the influenza virus itself. As well, we might see people getting pneumonia due to bacteria that have an opportunity to get into the lungs when there's a respiratory virus like influenza present.
So, Dr. Fauci, you know, there are always a lot of deaths from seasonal flu, even. It's one of the top 10 leading causes of death in the U.S. But they're also calling that this a pandemic, and I know that we've lost millions of people when we've had pandemics in earlier decades. Are we prepared? Are we maybe predicting that we're going to have we're prepared for this pandemic and we're going to see fewer deaths from it this time?
Well, the way this pandemic is acting is that the pandemic definition is because it spreads very, very rapidly. This has really been extraordinary how rapidly this has spread from the first cases that we saw in April in California and in Mexico, now throughout the world. So in that respect, it's a classic pandemic. As a broad big picture, it is not an overwhelmingly severe pandemic in the sense that it is a relatively mild to moderate disease. One of the disturbing aspects is that seasonal flu, which, as you just mentioned correctly, kills about 36,000 people a year in the United States, the overwhelming majority, 92%, are elderly individuals older than 65, and the majority of them older than 80. This particular pandemic that we're in now is a little bit different.
And it gets
although
young people.
The deaths are relatively few, they tend to be dominant among very young people, sometimes very healthy people.
Okay, great. That's Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. From Ann Arbor, we had Dr. Matthew Davis from the University of Michigan and Dr. Sandra Arnold, who deals with pediatrics and infectious diseases at the University of Tennessee in Memphis.